Welcome to Close Up Radio, where our hosts, Doug Llewellyn and Jim Masters, bring you the amazing stories of people who answered the call to unlock their potential and taken control of their own success with authenticity, creativity, persistence, and resilience. Close Up Radio special guests share their knowledge and wisdom so you, the listener, can live the most empowered life possible. Close Up Radio. And now, here's today's host, Doug Llewellyn.
Well, thank you so much. Hi, folks. Nice to be back with you again. Today, we're going to explore the world of real estate. That is buying and selling a home. It's a really, really important business. It's a big business in this country, as you know, around the world anyway. By the way, you know, there are so many people these days. I see this in the news a lot, and that is folks are afraid that the American dream of owning a home has just gotten out of reach, that the economy is so bad and they are just not making the money to be able to get together the down payment for a home. It's, well, see, how do you like that? Hallelujah, folks. How did that happen? Well, anyway, I'm trying to get rid of this phone call, and that's my fault, so beg your pardon. We will continue. What can someone do if they really do believe that the American dream is not going to happen for them? Our guest today says that's not true. The American dream can be true. And she is a specialist in the world of real estate. She was with us last week. Her name is Beth Baker Owens. She's based out in Denver, Colorado. She is a remarkable woman. She is a real estate agent, and as she points out, whether you're buying or selling a property, it is highly advisable that you work with a top-notch licensed real estate professional who can guide you into discovering what can really work for you. But if you try and do it alone, you're taking a huge risk. It can cost you dearly. You know, let's face it, buying a home is probably the biggest thing you will ever buy, the most important financial deal you'll ever get involved in. And a professional real estate agent does a lot more than just hold open houses if you're trying to sell one. An agent can do things like know where to list the property for sale, search through the real estate listings. They are trained to navigate the complex process of what, as I pointed out, will most likely be the biggest financial decision of your life. By the way, I was reading a little description from Beth's information. She says some realtors may do the job adequately. There are others who are highly exceptional individuals who understand both caveat emptor, which, as you know, means buyer beware, and caveat venditor. They go above and beyond their call of duty to really understand you and coach you in attaining your dream at the best value possible in a reasonable time, whether you're a buyer or a seller or both. So anyway, she has a career spanning almost 30 years in this world of real estate. She has a coaching emphasis for clients to uncover and make their life goals real. She is in reality. She's a life coach and a top-notch realtor. So we're going to talk to her now. We're going to bring her back on. Her name is Beth Baker Owens. She's based in Denver, Colorado. And Beth, I have a question for you. I just mentioned, yeah, your information mentioned that there are some exceptional individuals who understand both caveat emptor and caveat venditor. You know something? I had never seen that term, caveat venditor, before, and I looked it up in the dictionary, and it wasn't there. I still don't know what it is. Help me out.
Okay. Well, that's Latin for you.
Yep.
You know caveat emptor?
I didn't have a Latin dictionary. Oh, yeah. I'm sorry.
Well, you know caveat emptor is buyer beware. It's always that idea that the seller knows more about the product that you're purchasing than you do as a buyer. And so that's why in our real estate contracts we've got all kinds of deadlines for buyers to be able to check things out and make sure that the home is probably going to be a good fit long term. Well, that's the buyer beware part. We're familiar with it. But what about caveat venditor? This is seller beware. And as many sellers will tell you, after the crazy stuff that we had in our market after 2020, there were buyers buying homes and waiving a lot of their options on the contract. They were not doing their due diligence.
Yeah.
And so sellers were delighted. Yeah, remove all those things. Just give me $100,000 more than the list price. That's great. not for the seller, because when the buyer finds something that they think the seller should have disclosed, they'll go to court. And there have been an awful lot of court cases that have been brought because the seller did not either encourage the buyer to follow through with their basic due diligence, or they just didn't disclose stuff that they figured wasn't important and then became important to the person who'd bought the house. And as a seller, that disclosure piece is crucial. Now, do you share everything? That's a good question. How do you balance it? How do you still put the home in a very favorable light that shows why it's a beautiful place to be and live? So it's now buyer and seller beware. And as we open up for more open season on commissions, then that's also going to change some things where the seller is going to need to consider, how do I place my home in the market to be most advantageous for me? And that's just going to open up more conversations.
Yeah, no kidding. Do me a favor. Give me an idea of the kinds of things you think people leave off that they don't disclose that could end up involving them in a lawsuit. What would that be? A couple of ideas.
Well,
what would you say?
Let's start with a couple of things. And I'm going to take some stories from Colorado that were especially emotional for the buyers.
Yeah.
There's a home not far from where I live. And the woman had bought it. She had done a home inspection, but not as thorough of a job as she might have. And then as she bought it in the winter, and as things started thawing out, she realized that there were an awful lot of snakes in the area, in, like, her yard, and realized then that she actually had snakes living in the walls of her garage.
Oh, my God.
And that was particularly gross and disgusting. It's not anything I'd ever seen before, but she had not had that disclosed by the seller. How could the seller not know? First of all, the smell is profound. If you've dealt with snakes, that there's a certain smell that goes with snakes. And the other piece is the seller had to have known. So she had found herself in a bad way, I guess is the best way to put it. Another case, I had a
quick question there.
Yeah.
Let me ask you a question. You see, she found herself in a bad way, the purchaser did, but what about, can she sue the seller for not disclosing that?
She is pursuing avenues. We do not know exactly what at the moment. It has not been shared at this moment.
Okay.
So I would imagine she and a lawyer are getting together and contacting the seller and the seller's legal counsel as well.
That's very interesting. And nobody wants snakes in their walls. Nobody.
Oh, so all right. Not. Gross.
Yeah, she should have disclosed that.
Well, I would think it should have been. Anyway,
yeah,
that's a nightmare.
No question.
I would
think
so. Just common sense. But there's another one. Here's another case in point. I have a lovely couple that had been in the house 40-some years. When they had moved into the house, it had been a rainy season, and water had gone into one of the basement windows, so they sealed it shut with aquarium glue and didn't worry about it. They had other things that happened over the years. They had documentation of everything except that one particular window because they'd totally forgotten about it. Buyer moves in to the house thinking everything has been perfectly documented, and the first thing they do is they unseal that window, and then we get incredible rainstorm and water comes in, and they are livid that the seller did not disclose this. We went to mediation, and the seller said, I'm so sorry. That was over 40 years ago, and we had all these other things that happened with the house, and they had 2 3-inch notebooks of details of everything they'd done in the house.
Wow.
And so it got resolved. It got taken care of, mediations for that. But a seller who's been in a house a long time is not going to remember every little detail. They can't. Even when they try to be anal retentive on everything. And so buyers, however, have been known to get very, very upset And
you know,
that's where the seller needs to do the best they can.
So in this situation, what do you think is going to happen? Has it concluded? You know, have they come to an agreement or not?
Oh, yeah, it concluded. It was fine. We got together, had a mediation, and there was a discussion about how to better handle the window. They still wanted to have some kind of ventilation in the basement. They were looking for cross ventilation in the basement, and they worked it out. They sat down as reasonable people and said, what can we do? And the seller said, we are so sorry to have caused anything that would upset you. This was our beloved home for so many decades, and they resolved it.
You know, I love your story. For 30 years, you've been dealing with real estate in the beautiful area of Denver. You teach people what's good and bad about buying or how to go about it. Let me ask you, you're in Denver. Can you help teach people in other parts of the country or wherever they might be about, you know, the do's and don'ts when it comes to being a realtor? Do you do it?
I can share a lot of the do's and don'ts, and I do. However, if I were to buy, say, a home where my son lives in Iowa, I would hire a realtor to help me with whatever is specific in that location, because there are probably some specific pieces that need to be addressed, especially for inspections and consideration. If you're in Tornado Alley, for instance, you need to have a basement spot, right, in case a tornado comes through. And so that would be something to consider. And so I can share, here are the questions that you ask. Here are the things that you need to be able to provide for your clients and engage the agent's understanding of where they live. Because that's more of my coaching approach as opposed to top-down, this is what you need to know, A, B, C, D, do it. It's not necessarily a checklist. It's an engaged brain process.
And that's what coaching does. I get that. So you can really teach people in Denver then. I know you coach people there on how to become realtors. But then you're a prime-time realtor yourself. You know this, but, you know, I find it amazing you're doing this, but you were a science teacher. What got you into real estate? Mm-hmm. How did that happen?
Well, it was a shift. I had been a teacher for 13 years and was enjoying it, had such a wonderful crew of teachers to work with and great students. I'd always wanted to earn my master's in business, and as a little kid, just a little toddler, you can imagine me with my little pigtails, sitting on my daddy's lap reading the Wall Street Journal together when he would come home from work.
Yeah.
And I had that as, that's the ideal. So there I am teaching with three little kids under 5 years old, feeling like I'm getting some gray hairs at that moment. Oh, my gosh, I got a gray hair. If I don't make this dream come true, it's never going to happen. So I signed up for master's in business classes, and I did that full-time while I was teaching and raising the kids with my husband, and realized that I wasn't going to be able to pay off the student loans for the MBA at the increment I was going to make, the increased increment for teaching salary, and realized I had to change careers to pay off the student loans. And at that point, I thought, oh, that wasn't a very good business decision. You go to business school and make a bad business decision? Well, it was a choice of passion. And as I was sitting there, this is before we had cell phones. I had a HP calculator. I was figuring out how long it would take to pay off the student loans. I'd be over 70. That's too long to wait. And so my husband, Kent, said, well, join me in real estate. I said, man, you're cracked. I said, a family of five, you have months with no income, you have no insurance, you have no retirement, you have no days off unless you choose not to get paid. Said, how can this be beneficial for a family of five? He said, well, you'd be good. And he's almost always right, almost always. So after 9 months of trying to prove him wrong, I said, okay, I'll go into real estate with you. And it has been a wonderful career such a change. But I did feel like I was jumping off a building, and somebody said, well, just flap your arms, wings will come. I'm going, wait a minute, wings don't just show up. That's not biology. That's not physics. Physics is you'll fall to the ground and splat. But in this case with dreams, there's a little bit of a different metaphysical piece that kicks in, and it's been a wonderful career.
You know, I can understand why it's working for you. Obviously, you've got a great website, by the way. You've mastered the art of digital advertising, you know, on explaining all of the various services you provide. It's a long, long list. And anybody who's listening, especially if you're in Denver, Beth Baker Owens is Beth's website, BethBakerOwens.com. Go there. You will learn a lot about all of the various things that she does. She does everything, really, and I'm sure you do it extremely well, Beth. By the way, I started off saying that, you know, a lot of people think the American dream is dead. You say that's not true. Is that right?
Mm-hmm. Correct. A third of the people I work with every year are first-time home buyers. The reason is, what I hadn't shared with you is that we bought our first townhome very close to where I was teaching because we only had one car, and that way I could walk to school and back. And then we had the three kids, and we still lived in the same townhome because when we bought it, our landlady had taken care of us. She wouldn't let any agents be involved, and we had to use her friend, who was a lender, for the money. He only charged us about 3.5 points more than everything else was going for. It was awful. And so that was important to me as I was choosing a new career to make a difference in people's lives. And if we had had representation, oh my gosh, financially it would have been so different. So
yeah.
I realized that is very important. What we have today, why the American dream is not dead, is that we do have ways getting the dream to come true, but we can't do it the way that people did in the 50s or the 60s, unless you've got incredible two incomes and not much debt, unlike most millennials who went through school and walked out with $100,000 to $200,000 worth of debt to start with. That's
right.
A huge hole that you put right. Your best and brightest people into to start with. So there are ways. I put together a whole webinar for first-time home buyers to look at how can you leverage, where can you find advantages. Real short, there are some loan programs that are helpful. There are families that are kicking in as they used to do years and years ago, where maybe you'll stay with a family member and save money so that you'll be able to get ahead. There are, in Colorado, CHAC and CHAFA and some other programs for getting assistance for down payment. There's no free money, but you can get started. And there's something called a house hack, which actually is nothing new. It sounds new because it's house hack, but it's buying a property and renting out rooms or the basement or part of the house to help defray the cost. And that's huge. Makes a difference.
Well, I think what you do is remarkable, and again, I want to go through this list of the services you provide. There are many, many services. When someone comes to you and they want to sell their home, you have an initial consultation with them, and you call it your go-to-market strategy. Tell me a little bit about mm-hmm. what that involves. These are typical things that a realtor should do, but they all don't. Am I right in that? I mean, not everybody does.
Well, unfortunately. Unfortunately, yes, not everybody does it. But maybe not everybody knows. I've been around enough that kind of helps. What
yeah.
I do, depending on whether they're go-to-market now or they're get ready, get set, because they're going to go on the market in 2 to 5 years, I'll go through their house from front to back, top to bottom, and look at everything through the eyes of a skeptical buyer, and ask them what projects they have in mind, what they like about the house, what are the features, what are the problems with the house, why they would want to move, and what they would want to take care of. And I'll make a report for them, sometimes with pictures, sometimes not. With pictures, if it's going to be 2 to 5 years out, because the brain forgets things. And that way I document and say, here are the top concerns and here's your timeline. You said you want to sell and go on the market at this point, so we work it backwards and say, okay, here are the projects. And lay it out for them. I have all kinds of contractors who can help with various projects so that when they're ready to go on the market, they can be ready to get top dollar for their house. And the other option, yeah.
I was going to ask, do you recommend people strip the home of, and they can't do that, obviously. You know, can they sell it with their furniture and everything they have in their home better than if the home is empty?
It depends on how they've staged it and what kind of shape things are in.
Right.
Sometimes things are tired enough that it's better to remove most of the things. However, there are other people who have such incredible taste, you just go in and go, wow. What I do recommend is you don't distract the buyer with comments of, oh, look at that, or, it smells like cat piss. Oh, my gosh, where is that coming from? You don't want to be distracting the buyer. So you want to have it at least be impeccably clean. I learned that from my grandfather years ago. He used to love to go to the flea market. My poor grandma would say, Gerald, what are you doing at the flea market again? He'd come home with treasures. And she'd roll her eyes. And,
right.
And he'd say, now, Beth, you understand that the first thing you do is you clean everything up. And then you make sure it works smoothly. It operates beautifully. And then you add a little sparkle. Mm-hmm. Then people will love it, and you can sell it at a profit. And so, you know, his thoughts are not a lot different from how any of us are today. We want to go in and see that things are clean and smell that things are clean. We need to be able to feel that the house is solid and in good repair. And a little bit of sparkle will be enough for most of us to have the house feel like it's a good fit. However, staging can make a difference.
Yeah. It's interesting because I've known many times in situations where builders have built homes, and this is especially true in California, and they'd sit on the market for months, and then they'd hire a company to come in and, you know, put furniture in the house and make it look like it's been lived in, but it'd be beautiful, obviously. Mm-hmm. And then the house would sell, you know, within a week or two. So staging is critical. So that's an interesting situation where there was nothing in it. People don't have the imagination to know what it would look like with furniture in the house. Do you find that true?
I find that true. If you've got a space that's not your routine space, people have a hard time understanding how they would live there. And so sometimes virtual staging is a better option. We had a house, custom home. They had just redone the cherry and mahogany floors. So it did not make sense to want to put in furniture, heavy furniture, that would scratch it. We ended up doing staging because it was an unusual layout. And then people said, oh, this will work great. And in that case, it got the home sold. In other cases, people need to feel and see the staging in place. They can't just go with pictures. But your first showing is always with pictures now. That's your first home tour. So that has to show well.
Yeah. And most often that's on the Internet. They're looking at it on the Internet, right? Yeah, on your
Absolutely.
Website. Listen, you know everything there is to know about being a realtor. You teach, coach. How do you coach people? Do you tell me about, do you conduct classes for folks who want to be realtors in Denver? Is that the way it works?
I do all kinds of things. When I joined York Castle Real Estate in 2009, I'd been at RE/MAX for over a decade at that point. When I joined York Castle Real Estate, I offered free classes, and they included classes for the public. That, as you might remember, was the Great Recession, and a lot of sellers were going, how do I even get my home sold? So I developed courses for the consumer, for the sellers on that. I also have over 35 different classes I've taught to assist agents in being more skilled and more powerful in their work. And so it's a matter, sometimes it's just here are the facts and here's how we address it. Sometimes it's here's a skill and let's practice it. Sometimes it's a combination. Occasions, their brains need to be activated. And so we do that with something called a question mind. You've heard of a mastermind, right?
Sure. Yeah.
Okay. And that's kind of a brain dump of what people know. But a question mind is what maybe should happen as a step before that. And you gather and you take a topic and you say, what are the questions that need to be addressed and answered in order to solve this problem? Not
you know, I have a quick
question
to get. I have a quick question for you. Have the rules that have changed in the commission situation for realtors, has that changed a lot? You know, in the buying and selling of homes. What do you think?
For some people, will for the general public, there will be a sense of oh my gosh, everything's changed. In practical terms, I don't think it needs to be that big of a change. I'm going to boil it down to two things. If, and this is assuming, that what I've read is the preliminary settlement is what we end up with, okay? So I have to put that caveat in there because we're not at the final settlement yet. First piece is because there was a fear of collusion on commissions and the publishing of what the commission is and the cooperative commission is in MLS was considered collusion. After the 14th of July, MLSs will not allow any publication of what any shared commission is. That means there's less transparency for buyers. What that means is, as it happens in the commercial world, the buyer's agent needs to contact the seller's agent and say, is there a commission offered for the buyer's agent? What might it be? And, you know, it's just an additional step that needs to happen.
Okay.
Doesn't need to be a big, hairy deal. The second thing, and this is going to be a change for how some people do business, we will now have to have a signed buyer agency agreement before we show a property to a buyer. And our buyer agency agreement is 20-some pages long, because of the addenda that are attached to it. And so even if, let's say, Jim, you come out and you say, hey, I'd like to look at some properties, right? And I say, great, no problem. Or sorry, Doug, we'll look at some properties. And sorry.
I hate to interrupt you, my dear, but we're running out of time. I know it's made some changes. Yeah, we got to go. Listen, I want to point, it's very critical I get your website out. If anybody wants to get in touch with Beth, her website is BethBakerOwens.com. That's easy, BethBakerOwens.com. You can spell that. And go to that website. Look at all of the things she does. Even if you're not going to, you know, work with Beth, if you're in a foreign city, you know, like Cincinnati or whatever, it'll show you the things that your realtor should do. That's the important part of this. She does so much. All your agents should be like her. Beth, thank you for taking the time to talk with us. You're a book of knowledge on this field, and we really appreciate it, okay? So I hope people will come to you for advice. All right? You're great. You're fabulous, and I love what you do. BethBakerOwens.com. Thank you, Beth. We'll talk again, hopefully. All righty? Have a great day. We're out of time for now. Bye, everybody. Take care.
You have been listening to a broadcast from Close Up Radio, a division of Close Up Television, Incorporated. For more information about our show and to be considered for future broadcasts, please visit closeuptelevision.com. You may also learn about us on social media and listen to us on podcast and internet radio. Thank you for joining us, and we hope that you have an empowered and productive day.
Oh, boy, do we ever. I'm Doug Llewellyn. Thanks for being with us, everybody. See you next time. Till then, take care. Bye for now.